All right, welcome in. McElroy and Cubic in the morning. It is Wednesday, January 12th. G-Mac back in studio, back from Indianapolis. Might be colder in studio than it is was in Indianapolis. But with that cold weather, I'm glad you survived. I'm glad you made it.
Man, I know
the temperatures are really cold, so
it was not that bad.
It was treacherous on a lot of folks right. Covering that game.
It's amazing how soft people are. It's like you don't have to walk outside.
Man,
come on.
Right. I mean, it was in the 30s.
I don't know
how people made it.
It's not that bad. It really wasn't. I mean, it was cold, but like, dude, it wasn't that bad. I mean,
what Twitter told me. Twitter told me they might not make it.
which Twitter are you referring to?
Beat writers for both teams.
Ah, well.
Really cold.
They should just be happy they were there. I mean, goodness cold. Gracious.
Enjoy it.
They're cold.
I mean, goodness gracious. Heaven forbid you have to cover a national championship game. Like, what a burden.
It right. Felt like it was for a lot of folks, actually. So you've had a chance to go back and watch it. I'm interested to sort of revisit with you since you've had a chance to look at it in a bit of a different way. You've had a chance to kind of study the film, take an extra look at it. What are your thoughts now that you've sort of seen it again and seen it in a little bit of a different way?
I actually, not a lot changed from my original opinion. Original opinion kind of stayed pretty true. Thought there were some missed opportunities for sure. Thought the defense struggled at times in some of their run fits. Thought that they, you know, not having Jameson Williams to me, I think is a little overplayed. Jameson Williams is not your red zone threat. The struggles were in the red zone. Jameson Williams to take the top off the defense threat. So I actually, in looking back at it, felt, you know, it would have been nice to have him, of course, between the 20s, but he wasn't the reason why they weren't able to score touchdowns. It was really just missed opportunities. A couple drops, a couple inaccurate throws, and a couple of horrendous routes, one in particular by Jaleel Billingsley, who is now in the transfer portal. But it felt like he might have gone to the transfer portal before the game.
You're going in.
Yeah.
He was awful. Yeah. I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, if I were him, I would not want that tape out there. It was worse than I thought. So that was a tough game, but all things considered, man, it's just one of those things where the better team that night won the game. I mean, Georgia was definitely the better team that night, and there's no excuses that can be made by Alabama because Georgia made the plays, Alabama did not, and injuries were not the reason why the game went the way it went.
But to counter that, you could say Alabama was going to need explosive plays to get points, and yep. Jameson Williams, you know, obviously took some of that away and cost them a little bit of that. So it could have been a key piece as to why they weren't able to generate more points by scoring from outside the red zone. But, you know, defensively, it's one, I think, for me going back and looking at it, that I didn't think I was going to see it be, I'm not going to say overall as bad. Like I thought 47 didn't have a great game at all. I didn't think Alabama played Pullers well at all. And, you know, most of the time, you know, if it had been Will Anderson handling most of those, I think they would have been okay. But when you have other defenders that have to play pulling guards and tackles, and they're not going to spill those pulls, and they're not going to play them the right way, they're not going to be aggressive with the way that they attack those, well, you're going to give running backs options, and you're going to open up run lanes, and you're going to make the fits more difficult on your linebackers. And I think that happened consistently. So that was a pretty big problem. Secondary, obviously, some miscommunication, missed a few things on a couple plays that Georgia was able to hit down the field. And those things, in that kind of a game, Greg, those things can't happen. Those are the plays that ended up deciding the game. And some of those mistakes ended up being extremely costly for Alabama's defense.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that hurts. I think when you look at it too, Alabama did some really nice things. I mean, Georgia really at the end of the game, I mean, they overcame some difficult spots. I mean, second and 19, a couple of uncharacteristic penalties. Georgia's not a heavily penalized team. They had a ton of penalties in that game. I mean, Georgia was able to, it's not like Georgia played flawlessly. You know, that's kind of where I'm looking at. It's like, golly, usually, and we said this yesterday, usually if Alabama loses the game, it's because the other team was flawless. That really wasn't the case. The more I watched it, if anything, I came away feeling like, man, Georgia left a lot of plays on the field as well. And I didn't necessarily think that as much watching the game live on Monday. But as I went back, I was like, oh, you know, man, they could have really put something together there on offense. That is, there were a couple opportunities they left on the field for sure. And a missed block here, an unblocked defender here, a slight slightly inaccurate throw here. A tipped pass of the line of scrimmage that could have very easily, if that ball gets in the hands of Brock Bowers, he might be out the gate. I mean, Bama did some good things, and Georgia missed some opportunities as well. So I would say all in all, for it being a national championship game, it was the tiniest bit sloppy and not really the most well-executed game I've ever seen. But I think both those teams match up so dang well against each other. It was a physical battle. And thought both teams played really hard throughout the game as well, with the exception of a guy or two here and there.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think the physicality probably led to some of what appeared to be sloppy. And yeah, that oftentimes is something that leads to that. And I felt like that was a part of it and part of why it ended up playing out that way. You mentioned the portal, and we're probably going to get some feedback from different folks on this. 800-239-9569, 800-239-WJOX. We're going to get to not just Alabama players, but other players from around college football in the SEC that have entered the NCAA transfer portal. Cade Mays, somebody who has been successful going in and out of the portal, who's now heading to the NFL, is going to join us at 7:45, former Tennessee offensive lineman. He'll give us an idea just what it was like playing in Josh Heupel's offense year one, expectations coming up for the next few years as he moves on for the NFL. He'll join us at 7:45 today. Bruce Pearl, Auburn head basketball coach, fresh off Auburn's win in Tuscaloosa last night, will join us at 8 a.m. this morning. Tom Hart, as he is every week, will join us at 9:30 today. So busy day for you as far as guests are concerned, and a lot to get to around sports and college football. Alabama hit pretty hard by departures yesterday, G-Mac. Drew Sanders, one-time starter for this defense on the edge, has entered the transfer portal. Paul Tyson, who has not had significant playing time but has been a quarterback on that roster, he's in the portal. You mentioned Jaleel Billingsley, also in the portal. King Makuta, linebacker, in the portal. And Tommy Brown, offensive lineman, in the portal. So not a ton of production and starting time or even really snaps collectively, but multiple bodies heading into the portal. So when you're talking about roster turnover, something that's going to hit almost every team, Alabama loses multiple players yesterday to the NCAA transfer portal.
Did feel like Drew Sanders was a pretty significant loss, just for the depth. Obviously, Dallas Turner on one side with Will Anderson on the other, his opportunities to step up and, I guess, be a significant piece were a little bit few and far between, but he did log some pretty significant minutes this year. So that was the one of all of them that kind of made me raise an eyebrow. I'm not as familiar with Tommy Brown. You might know more. I know he got into the lineup some this year. Jaleel Billingsley, that's addition by subtraction. I think that was just not a good match right now with what he prioritizes and what Alabama wanted from him. It's just better for both for him to get a fresh start. So look forward to seeing where he ends up. But I don't think he's going to get a real glowing review from Tuscaloosa if coaches want to reach out. But it would be the Drew Sanders entrance into the portal that would surprise me the most and potentially maybe concern me the most, because he was an important piece knowing the lack of depth that Bama had at one point throughout the season.
I believe my understanding is that Drew Sanders feels like he lost his position due to injury and didn't get a shot to get it back. And that frustration sort of pushed him to saying he wants to give it a go somewhere else. I thought he played good ball when he had to come in.
I did too. That's why I would be a little bit disappointed to lose him. Everyone else, I feel like, all right, understandable. But that's one where it's like, dang, that's a bummer.
Well, and Dallas Turner did good things when he came in. And I think he finished with 8.5 sacks this year. So you know, he's a guy that's going to be productive, going to do some things. But we also hardly saw Drew Sanders after he was healthy again. And I think that's probably where the frustrating part comes, is that, all right, this other kid comes in, maybe he's still a starter, but I played well enough as I was in. I should at least be able to split reps or get a quarter of the reps. And I didn't see him give any reps at all once Dallas Turner sort of took over. And obviously the talent is different. I think Dallas has a much higher ceiling, much more twitch, a guy that can give you a little bit more. But still, if you're not able to get that spot back, I can see why it would be frustrating. Now, immediately head to the portal, I don't know. That's an individual's decision. But I guess felt like he wasn't getting enough of a shot to be the guy out there on the edge for that Alabama defense.
Yeah, and I do think that Dallas Turner will be elite in time. I do still feel like at this point of his career, at least throughout the 2021 season, he was still more of a luxury than a necessity. Getting that speed off the edge, having him in obvious passing situations, he was I guess, a really nice balance to what Will Anderson was bringing on the other side. But down in, down out, can he be the edge defender that he needs to eventually be? Like, at this point in his development, he reminds me of a young Tim Williams. You know what I mean? Just a young Tim Williams where, yeah, you put him in there on third and 13, he's going to be an absolute nightmare for the opposing tackle. But you put him in there on second and three, is he capable of kind of holding up and playing both run and the pass? And I didn't see him really challenged at the point the way I've seen Will Anderson challenged at the point. And Will Anderson, of course, is he's met every challenge that he's ever had at the point. So I'm still a little bit jury's out on Dallas Turner on where he's going to fit in. Is he a first and second down player as well, or is he exclusively on third down? Is he a guy that's kind of rotate in their dime nickel rabbits package, or is he going to be a two down stand up outside linebacker? Like, what, like, where is he going to factor in as he develops? Because right now, as a situational pass rusher, he's off the charts good. But can he be a three down contributor on first, second, and third down in 2022 is the question. I think he probably will be, but that's not something I can tell you right now without a shadow of a doubt.
No, absolutely. So you lose a little bit of quarterback depth. Obviously, tight end, we know Cam Latu is going to be there, and he's a guy that I think physically at the point of attack gives you a lot at the tight end position. So have to be excited about him. Jahlil Billingsley was had a chance to be one of the better flex tight ends in college football, in the SEC at least. I mean, he's a guy that returned kicks and showed you he can flex out. He's athletic enough to win some one-on-ones. Obviously has speed to run by guys, but I mean, this started back before the season began, and we know he was in the doghouse in the Miami game. We talked about his attempts at blocking in the Miami game. A lot of folks didn't like what I said about that game. I didn't feel like he had any interest in being a part of being a blocker in that game, and I saw very similar effort in the national championship game. The national championship game, where it looks like you don't want to get out there and mix it up and try to block people, which that's going to be something that doesn't really register with me. I'm not going to be able to comprehend that. And it's been back and forth. It's been up and down. You know, when we had Alabama this year, the Mercer game, the Southern Miss game, you know, Coach Saban really was trying to hammer to us. We want him to come around. We need him to come around. He can help us. He can really make us different offensively. But you could just tell that that feeling of we're not going to give it to him. We're not just going to let him do it. He's got to earn his way back in, and he's got to prove to us that he can be that guy. Maybe he did towards the middle of the season. I mean, you had him a little bit later against Tennessee. I don't know what the mindset was to Billingsley there, but it just does not seem like
I remember that one.
It ever really got going as far as him understanding what it was going to take day in, day out.
Yeah, I think it's the understatement of the year. I mean, not only did it never get going, I mean, there was never even close to getting going. And if you look at kind of how he played, I thought he was awful. I mean, honestly, I'm not, you've listened to me in this
game or in the entire year?
No, this game in particular. Yeah. Like I'm not going to characterize his entire year, cause I don't recall what he did against Southern Miss. I don't remember. Maybe he had a huge impact. I look at the stats. Seems like he did, but that's not necessarily important. I'm not worried about the down and down out. It was obvious that there was a lack of interest, and it was almost as if, you know, the other day, I mean, he needed to be a focal point. I mean, he ran the softest, I'm not kidding, it was the softest out route I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you're a tight end, you're playing against safety, you are wide open. If you just collision the guy and create just the tiniest bit of separation, you walk into the end zone and score, he falls down. I mean, it was the softest route I've ever seen a tight end run that has talent. It's one thing if you have no talent. This guy's a beast. You know, so it's just disappointing. It's always about what could have been. But Coach Saban wanted it done a certain way all year. Coach Saban wanted it done a certain way throughout the offseason, and Jahlil didn't want to do that. And you know what? That's his choice. And it's probably would have been better off for him to have gone to the portal before the season. Because it's just his idea of what he wanted to get out of the program was not going to be, it wasn't going to be his way at all. Sure. It was going to be Coach Saban's way. And that's, you know, when you're not willing to buy in, that's okay. There's plenty of places that he can go that will be more of a player's program, and he can do what he wants to do, but it ain't going to be in Tuscaloosa. It's a whole lot bigger than any one individual. So if he starts getting away with everything, you know, if you start giving, letting one guy get away with murder, guess what everyone else is going to do? Well, he can get away with it. Why can't I get away with it?
Absolutely.
So
that's everywhere.
You got to set that standard early. And Jahlil just wasn't on the same page with coach from the beginning. And it's understandable that it would be a little bit frustrating for him and frustrating for coach. So hate that it ended the way it did, but certainly hoping the best for him. Absolutely, because he has no business being on the team down there in Tuscaloosa right now. It's clearly that is a very, very toxic marriage.
All right, so let's sort of go a little bit of a different direction here with this. Five guys going to the portal yesterday. Any concern from you on that? I mean, do you look at that and say, well, that's not good? Or is this just where we are? It's just college football now. I mean, because I look at I'm personally. I haven't looked at any of these moves and said, oh, God, that program's in shambles.
No.
And look at the kids Oklahoma's lost. And now I still don't look at Oklahoma and say, how are they going to fix that? Oh, no.
They're
not going to be able to play ball next year.
After Tennessee last year, how can you be worried about anybody?
It's fair.
That is,
I didn't think Tennessee was going to be able to have 22 players. They're going to have to play with seven.
That's a good point.
We're going to play both ways, boys. We've lost so many people. We're going both ways.
It's going to be interesting. We'll ask Cade Mays that at 7:45. Just the guy, not the number of guys, but the guys you lost. I mean, you lost a player who led Alabama in tackles. You lost a player who led Miami in tackles for loss, was second in sacks and tackles for loss. You lost a player who I believe led North Carolina in rushing. You lost a kid who started at left tackle for Texas A&M. You lost a kid who started some games at offensive tackle for Oklahoma. You lost a kid who I believe led the team in passes defended for Michigan State. I mean, like second or third on the team in tackles. Like, you didn't just lose guys. You lose guys that were going out making plays for a lot of other schools. I was interested what the mindset would be, but that's a great example of Tennessee being able to say, everybody who we thought was going to be ultra productive on that team was gone. They left. They were out. And you're still able to get to a bowl game and put together a season that exceeded expectations. So I guess the number sort of caught people off guard yesterday.
Yeah.
And Billingsley's one of those guys that you're always going to focus in on the potential and what he could have been, what he could have done. And I think all of us would easily admit that it's there and it could be there and it's possibly there. Haven't seen it consistently. And Drew Sanders, a really nice football player, a really nice football player.
No doubt. Not
the most talented guy, but I mean, he got
very solid.
When I watched Drew Sanders play this year, my takeaway was he got expletive done. That's what I thought. I mean, that's what kind of guy he was.
What expletive?
All of it.
All the expletives?
Most of them.
Yeah.
Who was the kid that was an expletive
stud? Is what you're telling me? Like he was a beast. I mean. You are a mess.
He kind of reminded me of like an Anfernee Jennings a little bit. Like he's not going to
do the dirty work.
He's not going to blow you away with his ability, but yes, he'll grind and
he's a
not
grinder.
Gonna, not going to give you anything up. He's going to work for it. And
so you're telling me he gave you like that walk on.
You're
energy?
Telling me, so you're giving me like the typical stereotypical outside linebacker that like is maybe the tiniest bit stiff. You're just going straight stereotype.
There's one stereotype that I steered away from with him, and I'm still attempting to. So I feel like I did a pretty good job there.
Yeah, you danced around it. Going down.
I mean, who was I could have given you like the Dylan Lee comp from back in the day. I didn't go there.
You're a mess.
I stayed away from that one.
I do think that's a loss, though. Like, I mean, I feel like that's a loss.
Well, that's a position multiple times the last year that's been hit by injuries.
I feel like that position's always hurt. I don't want to say that and like say it laughingly, but I think about Bama's linebacker depth like over the years, and I feel like it's every year there's two guys that go down. Maybe not for the season, but for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost cost him in 17. Remember, they were playing with like, maybe it was 19. I don't know. They lost like four of their top seven linebackers.
Yeah, it was a lot of them.
What year was that? 19?
I think 19. Yeah.
I don't remember when it was. All I know is that it cost them bad. So anytime you can have as many bodies at linebacker as humanly possible, whether it's edge or off the ball inside, it doesn't matter. Like having extra bodies there in this league, where it's a dadgum war every day, you better have a lot of dudes capable of filling it. And those guys are, by the way, hard to find.
Yes.
Like, tell me all you want. I can find a receiver, okay? I can find a safety. I can find a running back. Those guys are not difficult to find because you don't necessarily have to check measurable boxes. But I can't put a guy at the end of the line of scrimmage that is 6'1", 220. Can't do it. Like, you got to have a guy that's 6'4", with length, can hold up, and needs to be 250, 260 pounds. And those guys don't grow on trees.
That's why there's like three edge defenders that people are projecting in the top 10 of the draft this year. Because yeah, when you get a good one, everyone's going to want him. So having those bodies there is obviously massive. Kind of like having vehicles in your lot, which Royal Buick GMC does. If you're looking for options, vehicles to choose from, Royal's got it. New vehicles being delivered daily. And Royal has a massive selection of pre-owned vehicles. Royal, the only place in Alabama where you can find GMC Acadia, GMC Yukon, Volkswagen Atlas, Buick Enclave, Volvo XC90. So many more options right there at one location. Royal Automotive Pre-Owned, Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, Volvo Cars of Vestavia Hills, all part of the Royal Automotive family of stores. And Royal makes getting behind the wheel of a vehicle easier than ever. Visit Royal Automotive, exit 252 or I-65 meets Highway 31 in Vestavia, or online at royalautomotive.net. We'll hop in the GMC Terrain from Royal tomorrow and head to Tuscaloosa. We'll be doing the show live at Local Roots on 1665 North McFarland Boulevard in Tuscaloosa tomorrow. So G-Mac and I will be there from 7 to 10 a.m.
I'm going to make Cole have a beer at 7:02.
I'll have a burger at 7:02 with fries. How about that?
Are you going to put an egg on your burger?
Sure. Yeah. If they offer just that,
that makes it supposedly, if you put an egg on your burger, that makes it breakfast.
Okay. Well, then I'm in. I am 100% in for that. I will absolutely get that going. The fries look amazing. I'm excited to grab one of the burgers and the fries, the chicken sandwich looks good. I might have to just try a little bit of everything.
I think, yeah, might as well.
I think I've gone
to the table.
I think in the last 375 days, I've had fries on probably 300 of the 375 days. And I told myself at the end of the national championship, it's time to clean it up. And I know I'm just going to go right down to the sewer tomorrow. Fry City. Put cheese on them.
After what you did at Indianapolis, your schedule, you got to give yourself a couple of days to just kind of let it go.
I ordered Chinese food for dinner last night.
There you go. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Give it through the weekend, dial in Monday, and then let's rip. And let's, you try to get to 180, and I'll try to get to 250 by next football season.
If I'm 180, that's skin and bones, bro. I want to be like 200. I'm not ready to get down in the hundreds.
Nah.
Yeah, I would be nervous if you did.
Right, you'd be sick.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd look like Andrew Luck.
God, that was...
Did y'all see him?
It was weird.
Bro, yeah. He walked up, I'm like, Drew, is that you?
I didn't know who it was.
Let's go get a bite to eat. Let's go get a pizza pie.
Is everything okay? Like, is everything okay?
I got a place called Local Roots. I got some things that we can jam inside. You're going to need them. Yeah, absolutely. All right, when we come back, it's not just Alabama, but there have been some other teams that have been hit hard by portal departures and have pulled some big names out of the portal. We got to update you because there's just been a lot going on. One school in particular, I feel like, is having some big wins out of the portal, and they've had high expectations that they haven't met the last few years. I'll tell you who that is and who they're getting next on McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the morning, 7:30 a.m. Wednesday, January 12th, we'll be at Local Roots in Tuscaloosa tomorrow morning live doing the show there. Auburn 81, Alabama 77 last night in men's hoops. We will have Bruce Pearl, Auburn head basketball coach, on the show at 8 a.m. this morning. So 30 minutes from now, we'll talk to Coach Pearl. He'll join us, talk about that win in Tuscaloosa last night. As we move away from college football season, GMAC, never fun, never a happy time, but into more NFL and into college basketball season. So we'll try to move on here and keep it rolling.
We'll always have a little football, I can promise you.
Yeah, like
every day.
You sounded a little dejected, like kind of just...
I like hoops. I don't know hoops XO-wise. I like the XO conversation. That's always fun for me, but
yeah,
we'll just have to be fans for a couple months. And we're very much looking forward to that. And as we move away from football season, we might need to call our friends at Crocker Moving Services. They're a local company owned by a Iraq War veteran, Eric Crocker. Crocker believes in hiring movers you can trust. Full background checks, drug tests on every single employee. These are good guys. You can trust them in your home. Whether you need your whole home packed up and moved, your company headquarters moved across country, or you just want them to come rearrange your living room, these guys have you covered. They also do deliveries for furniture that you purchase need to get to your house. Call or visit them online today for a free quote. The website is CrockerMovingServices.com. That's CrockerMovingServices.com. Support your veterans by choosing Crocker Moving Services for your next move.
I saw a lot of movement happening in the NCAA transfer portal. USC quarterback Jackson Dart, he's in the portal. A lot of folks believe that that means Caleb Williams, is going to be heading over to USC to link back up with Lincoln Riley.
Is that official?
I haven't seen it official, but
I think widely assumed. I get that.
Everybody just believes that that's now the deal. But Jackson Dart, I mean, do you view him as big time? Is he a big time talent?
I think he was thrust into a difficult spot last year and did pretty well. So, yeah, actually, I think he's legit. I always thought Slovis was really good. I really like Keaton Slovis. But I thought Jackson Dart played fairly well under the circumstances. So, I think he will be a very attractive piece because he's got 3 years of eligibility left, first and foremost. And secondly, he already has experience. So I would expect him to be highly desirable for a school that needs to add an immediate piece.
All right, so let's stay with quarterbacks. Arizona gets Jaden DeLora from Washington State. Now, this young man was the Pac-12 Offensive Freshman of the Year, and so he's out of Washington State, now rolls over to Arizona. I would imagine a plug-and-play starter right there for the Wildcats, but another productive quarterback on the move within the Pac-12.
And it's kind of weird to me that he would transfer from Washington State after having a great year to Arizona. Not that Arizona's not a good place, not that they won't have success. Who knows? They actually showed some growth this year in Jed Fish's first season, but I don't know, man. What are your thoughts on that? Because to me, I feel like you're going from a solid situation to a very tenuous situation. Jed Fish has a couple bad years, and next thing you know, he's out the door.
Well, my thoughts are just that it's strictly coaching change. And you thought you were going to get one thing, and now you're going to get another thing. And it's just not – I think it's more personal than it probably is system, scheme, production, anything like that. It's just that whoever recruited him is probably gone. That relationship is out, and he feels like there's a better opportunity for him to be happier at Arizona. But good news for Washington State is you're going to get Cameron Ward. As we've talked about before, Incarnate Word quarterback who is 6'3", 220, has legitimate wheels, and put up over 6,900 passing yards and I think 70-something touchdowns. So a guy that's a bit of a wild card, but if there was a place that a wild card had fit in before, we've seen it happen, and we've seen a guy go there and be successful, albeit with a little bit of a different system, but you know, Cameron Ward's the one that a lot of folks have been kind of waiting to see where he would end up because that ceiling seems to be extremely high. So now Washington State gets a quarterback, at least Greg, with a ton of talent. We don't know how the talent is going to transition from FCS to Division I in the Pac-12, but at least they got a guy that they know can go out there and pull the trigger and hopefully be able to adjust to the speed of the game because that's going to be the biggest difference.
Yeah, and I don't know a whole lot about this kid. I don't have access to tape at that level. So full disclosure, I can't sit here and tell you anything. All
haven't
I can do
seen the tape.
Hadn't seen the tape, seen the highlights. Highlights look pretty good. But the highlights can tell a very inaccurate story. So if you're going off highlights, I could put Damian's reel together right now and I could have him looking like Russell Wilson in the Super Bowl a couple years back.
I'm just saying it's
all I need is like two good throws and two good runs and we're
just
cooking.
Saying. There we go.
That's all
you need is some music behind it, and all of a sudden it's a baller.
Yes,
a baller.
100%. It's not hard to pick out over the course of an entire season to pick out 20 plays and make you look pretty good. That's like to, and if you can't do that, maybe football's not for you. You know, so I think that the highlight reel stuff's difficult to go on. And what I will say is his highlights are excellent. So
well, here's the good news. Now, for Washington State, number one, you had to have him because not only did DeLora head to Arizona, but Cam and Cooper transferred to Hawaii. With what's going on there, I don't know anyone would transfer to Hawaii right now. Cameron Ward played in 19 games in 2021, obviously some of the spring season. 6,908 passing yards, 74 touchdowns to 14 interceptions.
Damn.
In one year.
Wow.
Now, to make it even better, though, and this is why it really makes sense, Jake Dickert hired Eric Morris to be Washington State's next offensive coordinator. Eric Morris was the Incarnate Word head coach while Cameron Ward was their quarterback.
Makes sense.
So that package deal makes a ton of sense for Jake Dickert in Washington State. So maybe that just automatically gets going, and all of a sudden they're able to get out there and get rolling. A couple of others before we head to break, and former Tennessee offensive lineman Cade May is going to be with us at 7:45. John Rice Plumlee is going to head to Central Florida. We hit that, one when
good,
you were out
that was
one
a
day.
Really good, that was a really good – I think that's a good fit for him.
Mm-hmm.
You think he'll play quarterback? Or?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Remember Nick Marshall? He played Auburn.
Yeah. I remember Rhett Lashley, too.
Oh, my good, a name drop.
So
he's at SMU now.
He is, but I just, saying. It's not all,
just throwing
it out there. All the pieces are not exactly the same as to what they were then. So the team that I referenced going to break that I feel like is having a lot of success, the expectations have been there, the chatter's been there, the talk's been there, the results have not. But has anybody taken a peek at what Nebraska's been doing out of the portal?
Who?
Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Like where the former Big 12 school?
The Huskies.
The Huskies, the best
Casey
team
Thompson,
ever.
Former Texas quarterback that got benched, is heading to Nebraska.
Nebraska?
Trey Palmer, former LSU wide receiver, is heading to Nebraska.
Is he the slot guy?
Yes.
33?
33.
Yeah. He's pretty sweet.
And
weird number.
DeAndre Jackson, Texas A&M running back, is okay. Also headed to Nebraska. Now, I didn't say guys who've actually played, but just guys from different schools.
Right. Yeah.
So it feels like there has been a bit of an influx in talent there in Lincoln. Now, I haven't seen any offensive linemen commit out of the portal, which is Greg and I watched it a lot this year.
Why does that matter?
That's a big part of the problem, because they aren't blocking anybody right now up there. And that's what at one time they were known to do that. So
the biggest hit so far in the transfer portal, at least from what I've gathered, it feels like Florida State again has been very active in the portal. Have you noticed that?
Yes, and they got a big one. Well, maybe a big one yesterday with Jared Verse coming up from the FCS, but he was the best pass rusher in the FCS last year. So it's a little bit of a risk there for Norvell, but a guy that could be a big hit. And you're right, the numbers that they're bringing in are just flooding that roster with guys out of the portal.
When you see teams going heavy into the portal, does that reek of desperation, or is that because my immediate reaction is, oh boy, they're desperate. But I also think too, after what we saw from Michigan State, man, how can you really give anyone a hard time about hitting the portal hard? Because Michigan State's the best example of a team that went very heavy in the portal, 42 guys. And then next thing you know, they're playing in the New Year's Six and winning the Peach Bowl.
If it's a team that won 8 games, 10 games, I might say it reeks of desperation. But when you go 5-7 and you're raiding the portal, I have no problem with it.
Well, I feel like raiding the portal for self-preservation.
And that is also what it kind of feels like to me, is that a lot of these coaches, including Mike Norvell, know. I mean, Mike Norvell's clock is about up this coming up season. If it's another season like it's been, I would anticipate that he's out. And you and I actually heard some discussion about other guys that were maybe being discussed as potential replacements for that job. So he's got to win this year, bottom line. So if he can go find multiple guys from the portal that may be a bit of a talent upgrade at a certain spot, he's got to do it. He's got to do it. Now becomes the job of a head coach to find a way to build continuity, find a way to build chemistry, find a way to get everybody on the same page, because that's not easy. You can't always do that. You can't just go get players from different places and everybody sees the same picture of what you want your team to be. You can do that, though, if you visit Michelson Laser Vision. You can all see the same way, and you can see perfect, and you can have perfect vision like I feel like I do. And I had the LASIK procedure done by Mark Michelson over 20 years ago. He and Dr. Jennifer Michelson are located now at UAB Highlands for comfortable and convenient care. They're members of our community. They've been rooted in Birmingham for a long time. That's why their practice is here in Alabama, to help serve you. Dr. Mark Michelson was the first surgeon to perform the LASIK procedure in the state of Alabama. That's why I went to see him. I called 205-969-8100, set up my free consultation, was so excited to hear that I was a candidate for the LASIK procedure, and was not going to have to worry about glasses, contacts, cases, or solution anymore. Visit MichelsonLaserVision.com for more information. Find out about the variety of easy and affordable payment plans there at Michelson Laser Vision. And when you select Michelson Laser Vision for your treatment, that cost you're quoted for treatment, that's what you're going to pay for everything. Surgery, recovery, post-op visits, all of it. There are no add-ons and no hidden fees at Michelson Laser Vision. 205-969-8100 or MichelsonLaserVision.com. What's it like to go in the portal? Come out of the portal. Have teammates go in the portal. We'll ask Cade Mays, former Tennessee offensive lineman, next, right here on McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Speaking of change, constant changes in the weather push your HVAC system to the limit. Protect it with a checkup from a trained comfort specialist. It'll give you peace of mind through the cold weather. Train is our official partner at Jocks. So find a comfort specialist near you at train.com. It's hard to stop a train. Tennessee offensive lineman Cade Mays, former, I guess I should say, joining us now on the Bud Light Hotline. Cade, describe to our listeners how difficult it was technically and fundamentally, not just based on your position, but for everybody, because I've talked to Cody Burns about it, I've talked to Josh Heupel about it, how you guys spent almost 2 days when that staff first got to Tennessee on how to go fast, where to look, where to be, how to line up, what not to do, where not to go in between certain plays. How difficult was that to just understand what that staff was going to want from you based on the pace and tempo that they were going to utilize?
Yeah, for sure. When they first got there, it was really difficult. There was a lot of steps that went into, you know, how to go fast, how to play efficient. And that's what it really is. It's not even really playing fast, like playing fast between the snaps, but after it, it's just playing efficiently. And, you know, it was tough coming from the last staff that was there who, you know, think we huddled up every play and didn't do much tempo. So now, you know, we're, you know, finishing the play, running up to the ball, getting set as fast as we can. So it was definitely difficult, especially just getting in shape to be able to do that. But, you know, I think when we all figured it out and started playing efficiently, that it really worked.
When you went through the transfer portal process, obviously a little different, but Cade, you were at Tennessee last year. No one used and was affected more by the transfer portal than Tennessee. So what was it like as you entered the portal, and how quickly did the coaches just absolutely attack and say, hey, man, come play with us?
Yeah, it was crazy, but it was definitely crazy. I was getting, my phone was blowing up, but, you know, I kind of knew that, you know, if I entered the transfer portal and Tennessee had a spot for me, that's where I was going. So as soon as I was entered in there, I, you know, called up Tennessee and they had a spot for me. So I didn't really look anywhere else. I just, you know, got in my car and drove north to Knoxville.
Cade Mays, former Tennessee offensive lineman, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. So obviously you understand that the portal can be a good thing. It worked for you. So I know there wasn't vitriol, and I know you weren't mad at guys that were going to take advantage of it, but tell us what the temperature was of your teammates when you saw the amount of teammates from last year that you knew were going to be productive no matter where they ended up. Linebackers, running backs, offensive linemen that were expected to play. When just that many guys hit the portal, what were you guys thinking as a team with that much production headed out the door?
Man, everybody's situation is different. And, you know, I think what's different about, like, there's a different view of how, like, players view the transfer portal. Like, when those guys leave, like, those are our friends. Like, those are our brothers. Those are our teammates. Like, it's deeper than football at that point. So, like, you're, one of your friends is moving. It's not like our running back, our wide receiver is leaving. Your friend is leaving at that point. And so, like, there's no animosity towards that. Everybody's situation is different. And, you know, you want to see everybody that you're friends with succeed at a high level. And, you know, that's what you're rooting for them when they leave. You know, you want to see them go somewhere and, you know, tear it up. Like, I tell people all the time, like, Ty Chandler transferred from Tennessee and went to North Carolina. Had a great year. You know, everybody, we talked about it in the locker room all the time. Like, you would hear it all the time. Oh, you saw Ty did this, this, and this. Like, that's what your teammates want to see you do when you transfer. There's never really any animosity towards it.
What about the guys that come in? I mean, not that your job was necessarily ever in jeopardy, but say a Tennessee going to be super active in the portal. Hey, we need to bring as many guys in as humanly possible. Like, what's the reaction for the guys already on the roster, knowing that if they bring someone in, they can easily be replaced, even if they were a starter last year?
I mean, I'm sure some people, you know, have that worry and stuff, but I feel like as far as our team, like, everybody feels like they're going to work and, you know, you're going to earn what you get. So if you work hard enough and you're playing good enough, then, you know, no matter who they bring in, apart from, like, you know, a top 10 pick, you know, you're going to have a chance to play and a chance to compete. And our coaching staff does a really good job of, you know, putting the best people out on the field and people that deserve to play. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you played against both Alabama and Georgia this year, so you understood a lot about both of those teams. What were you thinking watching that game, and what did you think going in, having faced both of those teams this year?
Yeah, I thought the SEC Championship really surprised me a lot. And so after that, for the National Championship, I was kind of just sitting there like, man, I don't really know who's going to win, which way to go. But I just kept thinking, like, I've heard coaches say in the past, like, since I've been playing, it's really hard to beat somebody twice. It's like a UFC fight. Like, the first fight never goes like the second fight. And it's really hard to, you know, beat that team, that person twice, like, back to back. And so I kind of put my faith in Georgia. I figured they were going to win, and I wanted them to win. You know, I mean, those are my boys. Even though I didn't, you know, finish my career there, I wanted to see them be successful. They deserve it. I know how hard they work. So, you know, I wanted to see them be successful.
Finally, for me, Cade, as you transition now to the league, you know, what are you hoping to accomplish here in the next couple months, and what does your schedule look like the next couple months?
Yeah, for sure. I'm training in Phoenix at Exos, and you know, I just want to get better every day, work on my craft, not only to, you know, perform well at the combine and you know, my pro day, but that's, you know, that's just a stepping stone. That's not that, you know, getting drafted is not the end all be all. You know, you gotta get in the NFL and you have to stick, you have to play well. So I want to work on my craft as offensive lineman and you know, get better at that, as well as, you know, training for the combine and the pro day.
You switched to tackle full time this year, and really the first thing I noticed is how you changed your body. How did you do that? How do you feel about playing tackle at the next level as well?
Yeah, for sure. During May, when we have chances, you know, to take a little break from football and stuff and class, I went to Dallas and trained with Duke Mannyweather. Put in a lot of work out there the whole month of May, and you know, did a lot of meal prep stuff. So that was how I changed my body. And I kept doing that, you know, when I came home over the summer. And then I feel like, you know, I can play any position at the next level. I've showed that I can play all five at a high level. So, you know, wherever a team needs me to play, you know, I've showed that I'm willing to play it. So,
okay, we appreciate the time today, man. Best of luck in the draft. Appreciate the time talking some college football this morning. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all. You'll have a good one.
Absolutely. Cade Mays. Follow him on Twitter at Cade_Mays, former Tennessee and Georgia offensive lineman. Joining us on the Bud Light Hotline, carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste when there's fun. Bud Light is there. Massive win for Auburn basketball last night. The man that directed it, Bruce Pearl, will join us right after the break, right here on Jocks 94.5.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.